Well, I want to welcome you to another episode of Equipped. It's a podcast by Connection Church. Equipped is a conversation about multiplying gospel community and fueling spiritual growth. We have one clear goal: to equip leaders to multiply. We want to help people follow Jesus, make disciples, lead small groups, and plant churches. My name is Brandon Williams, and I'll be leading you through today's conversation. So let's get equipped. Well, welcome to another edition of Equipped. And as you probably know, I'm doing some of these sessions on the aspect of equipping that includes mending and repairing. And so we'll continue to talk about that. Actually, today, I want to talk through some of this book, which is actually a book that I wrote. Some of you may know I wrote a book. Probably you don't. If you want to go on Amazon and buy a copy, you'll be about the 13th or 14th person who's bought a copy. So, but the book is called A Better Story. And basically what this book is about my story of how I found freedom in Christ through discovering who I am in Christ. And so I want us to continue to look at this and explore this. I've mentioned this in other podcasts, but finding our identity in Jesus and our value and worth in who God says we are is huge. It's not an issue. I believe it is the issue for most people in their relationship with God, their relationship with others, how they see the world, and especially how we see ourselves. And so I want to walk through just a little bit of this book today, and I hope it'll be helpful for you as you contemplate, think about some of the things we talk about today. So I want to start with this, and I would imagine that most of you at some point in your life, you had some type of dream. You had some type of big thing that you wanted to accomplish. You wanted to be something. You wanted to be an athlete. Maybe you wanted to play professional football or professional baseball, or you wanted to be an actor or an actress or a great musician, or you wanted to be a great scientist. And for some of you, some of those things maybe came true. But I bet for the most of us, our life's kind of taken a little bit of a different course. And that's the same thing that's happened for me through the years. So since the time I can remember, probably since I was 4 years old, I wanted to be a baseball player. And that was my dream. People would ask me, what are you going to do when you grow up? I'd say, I'm going to be a baseball player. They'd ask me, are you going to college? I'd say, no, I'm just going to play baseball. And so that was my dream. Baseball was literally my life. And honestly, I had a lot of success playing it. From the time I was young all the way through my high school years, I was pretty good at the game. Good enough to earn a very small scholarship to Georgia Southern University to play there. Got to play under one of the greatest head coaches in the history of college baseball, and learned a lot about the game. But when I got to Georgia Southern, what I realized is I went from that proverbial big fish in a small bowl to all of a sudden I was this little fish in this really big bowl. And the competition was much different. Everybody was good. In fact, most people were more talented than I was. And so the first 2 years were really, really difficult for me. I redshirted my first year. The second year, I didn't play much. And every day, it seemed like it was just a reminder of one failure after another. Finally, my third year, things started to change a little bit. I started playing better. I started earning some playing times, even starting some games. But I felt like I should probably be playing more, I guess, as most people do. Felt like I had probably earned an opportunity to start a few more games than I was starting. And so I decided after practice one day, I would just have a conversation with my head coach. And so I went to him and I asked him, I said, you know, I feel like I've been playing really well. I had a good fall. I've had some really good games here recently. And I wanted to ask, what do I need to do to get in the lineup more? Well, he didn't sit there very long. He thought for just a second, and he said, well, big guy, I think you're overestimating your talent and ability. And so there for me, it was kind of the end of a dream. It was one of those things where I was like, is that all you're going to say? And there was no other comment. I just turned around, went back to the locker room. But I knew for me that day that this dream had come to an end. I knew that I was not viewed as having the ability to play a lot at that level, much less another level up. And so for me, that dream really came to an end. And I think for all of us, it's easy for us to come to this place where we see our dreams as coming to an end. Some of us have even given up on dreams, of dreaming, of thinking of big things that we are called to do, or the big things that God wants us to do. We've just kind of given up on those things, especially as we get older. It seems like a lot of times what we do is we begin to settle for where we are, and we lose our imagination, we lose a vision for our lives. Oftentimes it's bigger than ourselves. You know, one of the things that was interesting about playing at Southern was after that conversation, I made up my mind that it would be my last year. And as I look back on it, baseball was the only thing I ever quit. And so I look at it, and being the only thing I've ever quit has been pretty challenging. And it was something that I loved, but I walked away from. And so I don't think it's real coincidental that I have this recurring dream. I don't have it as much as I used to, but for many years, I would have this recurring dream. And that recurring dream was that I went back to Georgia Southern and I finished my last 2 years of eligibility and played my last 2 years. And so it's just over and over. It's like a rerun in my mind. It's something that almost seemed like it sort of haunted me, that the regret of maybe quitting or what might have been always lingered in the back of my mind. And I would imagine that in some way, if you take the time to think about it, you can relate to what I'm saying. It might not have been athletics. It could have been some other area of your life that it just seems to haunt you. It could be that person or that place or that thing in life that seems like it just won't leave you alone. It's like an old episode of some sitcom that just keeps getting played over and over in your life. And for some of you, this rerun is like a horror story. For some of you, it's like that can't-miss blockbuster movie that just didn't end up being as good as other people thought it would be. Some of us would label these things that one thing that if I could get past this, whatever this is, if I could get past it, whatever it is, my life would be exponentially better. And so the reality is for all of us, we have an it, we have a they, we have something in our life that if we could just put this to rest and move on from it, our life would be exponentially better. If I could put these things sometimes for us, we have more than one of these. And so when we recognize this, it's important for us to understand how to deal with these things. If that's true for you, and there are those things that it or them or whatever it might be that is sort of that stumbling block for you, then I can probably tell you a lot of the pattern of your life. What probably happens is you really want to be a good person. You really want to be someone who represents Jesus well. You spend your days trying to hold up your end, quote, of the bargain with God and to do things the right way. And as admirable as that is, I would ask you how that's going for you. Because for most of us, most likely, you do well until you trip and stumble. And you fall, you drop your end of the deal with God. You feel like you've let God down, you've let yourself down. And when you stumble, you're flooded with this guilt that turns into condemnation. And you end up back in this real familiar place. It feels like you're burned out, exhausted from this bargain kind of living with God. God, I'll hold up my end if you hold up your end, or God held up his end. Now I'm in this place to hold up mine. And in our Christian language, we call that legalism. And when we stumble and fall and we begin to think that somehow we've lost or let down our end of the bargain, it puts us into this funk that can last for days or weeks or months or even years until we finally do good long enough that we feel like we've earned our way back into God's presence. We try to be God's good little boy or God's good little girl, and we're continually auditioning for God's love. And that's just not what God intended for it to be. It's not how God intended for it to work, but we still tend to perform for God's love. I want to walk through some scenarios that I think you might could recognize in your own life. So one scenario would be like this, that your life's moving along well. Things seem to be clicking. You're solid in relationships. You're being productive in life. You feel like you have a purpose in life and you can actually make a difference in the world and in God's kingdom. So you'd say that overall things are good. But then it happens. You see them or they call, or somehow you're reminded of it, and then all of a sudden things seem to fall apart. You begin this downward spiral, and shame and guilt for past failures or past hurts begin to flood your mind. You feel as though your face is flush. You get that sick feeling in your stomach. And at this point, we begin to fall into that trap of condemnation, of shame, and of guilt. And sometimes we even hate ourselves for feeling this way. We hate ourselves for letting this thing or letting them have that control over us. We hate ourselves for allowing those events to control our lives. And so we live at this really low level. It kind of spirals down until we finally get to this place where we can suppress those thoughts, suppress those feelings, so we don't really have to deal with them. We can find some type of exit that might just be staying busy. It could be distractions. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs, pornography, sex, food, sleep. The list could go on forever. And so we try to find these exits because we don't know what to do with this pain. We don't know what to do with these feelings. And so we end up just suppressing it and suppress it enough until we can kind of pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, put this in the back of our mind, just keep going. But we know, because we've experienced it before, that sooner or later that thing's going to arise again. The it, the they, the place, whatever it might be, will once again rise up and put us back into that same place. Another scenario might be this, that you're a driven person. And so you are clicking whenever you're getting things done, whenever you're building things, whenever you're being productive with things. And it could be anything from building buildings or building churches or building a family. It could be building a reputation. It could be building your influence. You just like to see progress in different areas, and there's nothing wrong with this. We need people like this. The problem for this type of person comes when we're not getting it done. Things aren't being built. Progress isn't being made. And we come to this place where we start feeling almost a sense of panic. It's a feeling that we're panicking because we can't seem to get the results that we want, and we perceive that as failures. We perceive that as each day of our life, no matter how much we put our blood, sweat, and tears into something, we just can't seem to produce what we feel like we ought to produce. And then fear begins to grip us at this thought of, what if I can't do the things I want to do? What if I can't accomplish the things I want to do? And that fear can lead us to almost seem paralyzed. And so we fear not being able to get something done. We fear not being productive. We fear those things. We even fear that someone else will pass us and be better than us at something like that. And the challenge in this is to realize that we don't have to live that way. We find ourselves being super competitive. And the reason for that is that we see what we produce as not just something that we did, but it holds our value and our worth. It tells us if we're accepted. It even funnels into all of our relationships of acceptance with God and with ourselves, with others. And then a loss or not being as productive as we think we should be actually means condemnation. It means this feeling of guilt on all fronts. And especially in our own heart, we really wrestle with those things. And so one trap, one scenario is for people who you feel this really strong need to produce things, which again is not bad, but the challenge comes when we're not producing, when we don't feel like we're the best, and guilt and shame, a feeling of a lack of worth and value begins to take over. And so it's really important for us to be able to recognize that. I want you to understand this, that condemnation, shame, and guilt is a tool that the enemy uses, and it's not intended just to do damage. It's intended to destroy us. And it doesn't bring us closer to God. It pushes us away from God because it gives us this feeling that we're not able to come into God's presence. And when we allow this feeling of condemnation, regardless of what scenario we find ourselves in, what we're doing is we're allowing something to separate us from God that Jesus has already dealt with. We've constructed an imaginary boundary that actually doesn't exist between us and God. And so we got to begin to understand this and see the reality that Jesus paid the price for that condemnation. And yet we struggle with this so much. And so I would really challenge you to ask yourself, if you're struggling with this, do you ever ask yourselves these questions? Like, will I ever get beyond this? Some of us have been wrestling with these things so long, we begin to think, can I ever get beyond this? Is this just how I'm always going to be? Is there any way to overcome this? Does God even want me to be this way? We ask the question of, why have I prayed so much and yet this won't go away? We'll ask the question of, can I possibly be a Christian and still feel this way? And then sometimes we just come to this conclusion of, this is just the way I am, and I'll always be like this. So what are we going to do? How do we assess the abundant life or access the abundant life of Christ? How do we come to this place of living in the fullness of God? How do we come to this place where our hearts are mended and repaired, where the Holy Spirit is working in us and the fruit of the Spirit is being produced in us and we can live free from this condemnation? The first thing I would encourage you with is you need to commit to be persistent. And when I say commit to be persistent, what I mean is this: be persistent in your pursuit of God. Be persistent in God's community. Be constant and persistent in God's word. Be persistent in prayer. Be persistent in worship. Be persistent in those things. In other words, show up every day for your relationship with God, to know Him, to walk with Him. Don't let it be something that is compartmentalized in your life. God is our life. He is the life giver. And be persistent in your pursuit, in your walk with Him. And remember to stand on the truth, persistently, stubbornly stand on the truth of what God tells us, not what our experience has taught us. The second thing I would encourage you with is you need to commit to participate. You need to commit to participate. In other words, commit to be a part of God's work. Commit to be a part of God's people. Persist in being a part of that. But make this commitment that I'm going to be more than a bystander. I'm going to be more than a consumer. I'm actually going to participate in the mission of God. I'm actually going to participate in the body of Christ, His church. So make this commitment to participate. Make a commitment to be persistent, especially with community. Get involved in community. Serve with other believers. Do life with other believers. Let other people in your life who are going the same direction you're going remind you of the truths that God has given us in Scripture, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, that when you believe in Jesus, you do become a new creation. And allow them to walk with you to help you find the freedom that God has given you. So be persistent, participate, and then commit to stick it out. It's not going to be easy for some of you. Listen, I know that you are in a place probably right now struggling with depression. I think probably some of you are in a place where you're struggling with anxiety. For some of you, you're in a place where you kind of wonder, will things ever get better? Or you're just tired. It just seems like one thing is coming after the next. It's not easy. The enemy is real. He comes after us, even more so when we do commit to go after God. And so I would encourage you not to stop, just to continue to take your next step. Don't let the enemy keep you from moving forward. God will always give you the strength. His grace is always sufficient for you to take one more step. You don't have to take the next 10, just take one more. The only way you don't get out of a valley is if you stop and you never walk out. Just keep walking. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Strengthen yourself in the community of believers. Strengthen yourself in God's word and prayer and worship. And let God's truth do what Jesus said it will do, that the truth will set you free. And so hang on to that. Be persistent, participate, and don't stop. Just take that next step. Keep stepping, because God has a better story for your life. Trust Him with the pen and allow Him to write that story for you.